Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Be Your Own Manager, the career podcast for classical musicians. My name is Bernhard Karas, and I'm very happy to have you with me today. I hope you have a cup of coffee ready. I'm sorry that I'm a bit later today than usually on Thursdays, but I still hope that you enjoy that podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about social media versus email marketing. And the issue behind it is very simple. I want you to reach as many people as possible with the great music you make. So let's get into it. When I speak to many musicians, they tell me, oh, I do marketing because I'm really strong on social media. And some of them are, but some of them think that they are strong on social media with a couple of hundred and perhaps, 2,000 followers on their various profiles. And to be honest, that's not very much. So today I thought I'll better talk about what real good marketing is and how you can use digital tools for that. And I will compare the effect of social media marketing versus actually direct email marketing. So these are two very different types of marketing. Both can be very useful, but not everyone is actually as good as it might seem. Well, let's start with social media. The great thing about social media, hey, they made these platforms so easy to use. You have them on your smartphone and you just type something or take a photo and you spread it to the world. And you feel good because you have done your little bit of marketing today, and you feel good because you actually get the recognition. You see the people who like your post, and people even might comment on your post, and some people actually even see it. Well, that's really done in a way to make you happy. The effect of that on your career is normally minimal. And the reason behind it is very simple. It's the algorithms of social media. So first of all, you need to know that actually in today's world there are more or less two platforms, because Facebook now owns Instagram, so that's more or less the same thing. And then there is Twitter, and Twitter works a bit differently. With Facebook and Instagram, you find more and more followers, and that's great. Yeah, having followers, you see actually how many people are interested in what you post. Well, because there are so many people of us now on social media, and it's 1 billion people or so on Facebook, 1 billion people. That's more than 10% of the world population, can you imagine? So, and they are posting all the time. So, to make people survive and actually like what they see in their stream, Facebook has sophisticated algorithms to make sure that people only see what might be relevant to them, or at least what Facebook thinks is relevant to them. So they filter out probably 90% of posts. That means if you post something new, Facebook and also Instagram shows that to a couple of your followers, only a few ones. And if they like it, and if they are getting engaged in that post, they'll show it to a couple of more. And if they also like it and engage with the post and write comments or so, or like it or have a reaction to it, then they'll show it to a bit more. The average numbers are very simple. Your post is normally seen by probably something like 10% of your followers. And it gets even weirder. Because of this 10% who see your post, probably 5-8% are the people who regularly see your posts. So these are your closest friends. So if you have 1,000 followers or so, it's probably the same 50-80 people who see your posts. And these are probably your closest friends anyway, and they know what you're doing, and you can talk to them directly, which would make a lot of more sense. And the same is with Instagram. Twitter is somewhere in between. It works a bit differently because of the timing. So Twitter doesn't filter out that much, but it also started filtering out, which led to huge complaints, but it does do that. But in Twitter, it's all about the time. You know, you just tweet something and you hope that the people you follow you are actually online and on Twitter so that they see what you post. So because of the timeline, it's also filtered out. So just imagine, and let's stick with these numbers for now, and I know that some of you have more than 1,000 followers on the various platforms, but let's just stick for easiness on the platform. You have 1,000 and then your post is seen by 50 to 100 people. Not very much, is it? Now, just let me speak a bit about when it actually becomes relevant that you're on social media. It becomes relevant when you have over 10,000 followers or so. Only then you're really recognized as someone and you actually are pushing out your news to significantly more people. That's then suddenly 1,000 people or so. So below that, it's nice to have, and I guess it's also important, but you know, it's just 50 to 100 people who probably see your post. Now let's go into email marketing. Email marketing is actually very nice. It is newsletters and sending out newsletters, and I'm sure that you have subscribed to a lot of them. And some of them might seem spammy. Some of them are actually really, really good. Now, I do not encourage you to send an email newsletter every day or every second day or even every week. But sending out an email newsletter kind of every month or every second month, kind of 4 to 6 to 10 times a year, makes a lot of sense. And yes, a newsletter needs to be well written, and it takes significantly more time to write a good newsletter, put the right information there, make it attractive than quickly writing a web post on Facebook or Instagram. But the numbers speak for that. Now let's assume you have 1,000 email addresses, which you actually should have, and these 1,000 people get a newsletter from you. Do you know, on average, how many people actually read that? On average, that's 30 to 50%. So it's between 300 to 500 people. And that's 3 times to 5 times as much, as many people as the ones who see your Facebook or your Instagram post. So simply the numbers speak for the success of email newsletters. And yes, you need to make sure that an email newsletter is really well written. I myself, and I don't necessarily want to make the advertising for that, but I use MailChimp. I think they have a really good platform, and when I teach this kind of marketing with to classical musicians, I also use MailChimp with them. They have a platform where you easily can write and make good email newsletters with great images, and they look good and they have a good look and feel to it. Nevertheless, there are many other platforms out there which make it really easy, but it is significant more work than a Facebook post. I know that. So when you do an email newsletter, also think about what actually might interest people. And that's not only your next performance, that might be also a recommendation of some music you just came across. That also might be a story about your latest project. You might actually even break that story down into a sequence. If you're working on a bigger project, tell people how it started, tell people how you're doing, what your next steps are, and break it down from newsletter to newsletter. People will get engaged by that. So that makes it interesting to read. It's like a little kind of novel you read chapter by chapter. And then people will be looking forward to your email newsletter and saying, last time this musician spoke about finding out about some early music arias somewhere in Havana, to just take one example. And then you take them on the journey of the archives you've looked at, and you send them some pictures of these manuscripts, and then you tell them about some recordings others have done and so on. So you can really build that and build that into your brand. So, recapping. I do not say that you do not need to be on social media. Having some social media presence is good in today's world, but don't overdo it. Secondly, if you don't have an email newsletter yet, please get one and do one. And do it regularly and consistently. So have a build-up which looks the same all the time so that people easily actually follow what you're writing and what you're doing. And just to end today's podcast, I recently actually, in my coaching sessions, encouraged a young conductor to send out an email newsletter. And funny enough, he came back to me 2 weeks later and said, "You can't imagine how successful that was and how much great feedback I had." So you'll see that. Yeah? Newsletters are working well. One last word of caution. Yes, please take care of privacy laws, of respecting the privacy of people and so on. That's why you should use a good platform. If people unsubscribe, they unsubscribe, and that's fine. So don't spam them, rather select the right addresses and the right people to write to. Okay? I hope that helps, and I hope that I get some really awesome newsletters in my inbox very soon. Thanks so much. Well, that was it for today. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Bernhard Karis, and I am very happy that you were with me today. I hope you enjoyed a good cup of coffee with me. I just had one with you and it was really great. If you like that podcast, please share it with others. If you really, really like it, you can also support it by going to patreon.com/Bernhard Karis. And with as little as $3 a month, you make a difference to that podcast. And it's actually good feedback for me too. If you have any questions or so, do not hesitate to reach out to me. Also, if you have any good feedback to any of the episodes, also if you have any bad feedback, just let me know. I'm always happy to hear from you. You find my contact details simply via the contact form on hellostage.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. All the best. Have a great week.